we'll see. I'm going to talk fast. We have an AC guy coming this afternoon to fix it for tomorrow. But we're just going to, hopefully you were nice and cold in the sanctuary and you're warming in here. Okay, so I'm going to talk through the first 3 weeks of your small group. And whether you're leading a growth group, a community group, or a men's or women's group, the first 3 weeks are crucial to setting up your group for the whole rest of the year. That's why we're doing a whole separate breakout on it. If you set up these 3 weeks poorly, it's going to set you downhill for the rest of the year. So if you aren't willing to be bold and to ask people good questions, then no one in your group is going to do that. If you don't set the tone of being open and vulnerable in your life story or in prayer, then no one else is going to do that. If you say you're going to stop at 9 and y'all go to 10 the first week, you're doomed. So everything about these 3 weeks is, we believe, is critical and crucial to setting you up well. And so that's why we think they're important and we're going to talk about them today. So you can see on your handout there, we are going to break down these weeks into week 0, which is essentially your initial meeting, your first in-person meeting where you go through expectations and you pass out the curriculum, and then fellowship, and then week 1 is like your first week of curriculum. I know that can be confusing, but that's kind of how we talk about it. You can do these 3 weeks in any order that you want. So some people do week 0 and then week 1 and then a fellowship. Some people do fellowship right off the bat and then 0 and then 1. You can decide as a leader team how you want to do it. I would just say the biggest thing is to make sure you have a fellowship within the first 3 weeks. So whatever order you want to do it, I'm going to talk about it as 0, fellowship 1 today. And then in each of these 3 weeks, I'm going to break it into 3 categories: culture, expectations, and connection. So how are you creating a culture in your group? How are you setting expectations for your group? And how are you creating connections in your group? There's not going to be specific things for each box. If you're type A, don't stress about the boxes. Just jot down whatever you feel or flip it over to the back and take notes. So starting with week 0 and with culture. Setting the culture for your group can even start with your initial email to them before you've met them in person. Is your email welcoming? Is it funny? Does it make people excited to come? So I know it can be easy to be like, I'm just going to give them the details and be gone. But be creative and think through, how can I make this email exciting, where they want to come? And then that first week when they first show up and walk through the door, do people feel welcomed? Do they feel engaged? Are they standing off to the side? There are some ways to be creative about this. Some things I might try in my group this year is have one of your leaders standing at the door writing their name tag, Thursday night Bible study style. You could even give them a directive as soon as they walk in the door, like, Jack, you're going to introduce John tonight, so go get to know John, you know? Or Jack walks in the door and you say, hey, Jack, find someone who's traveled to the same place as you. And so that gets them talking and connected to someone right off the bat. Those are just some random ideas, but whatever you can do right off the bat to make people feel welcomed and to make it feel like family. Y'all have been in groups before. You know the initial awkwardness of the very first meeting. I expect it, and do your best to be creative to think through, how can we get people talking to each other as best we can? And so that's going to start with a maybe short game before you get into expectations. Some things you could do are like 3 things you'd recommend, have everyone come with a recommendation, or 3 fun facts on a note card, like have someone write down 3 fun facts, you put all the note cards in a bowl, and then people draw out the note card, read the fun facts, and try to guess who put it. We did that in my group last year, and randomly, somehow, 3 people had fun facts about squirrels. Someone had been bit by a squirrel, I think someone had a pet squirrel, and someone hunted squirrels. So it was like super random. What are the chances of that? But it became this like thing, like a squirrel was like our text thread picture, and it just immediately created kind of connection and like fun culture right off the bat. So whatever you can do to make people excited to come back. Like, are you as a leader excited to come back? Be creative in thinking through how to set a culture that is fun, that is welcoming, that is engaging right off the bat. And then after that first meeting, make your group text thread and get it started right as soon as you can. And some ways you can do that is have everyone, you know, you start the group text thread and you have everyone send a picture from their favorite memory of the summer. Or you have everyone send their favorite GIF. Just something where people are instantly engaged and getting to know each other better and the text thread is going. There's also, I did learn, if you have an all iPhone group, which, you know, fingers crossed, you can share all the contacts as a list. I can show you how to do that after, where you don't have to have everyone, like, say their name. Anywho, but get the text thread started as soon as you can. So that's culture for week zero. Now expectations, and depending on your personality, this could be the part that you dread about group, but they're truly the most important thing you can do in week zero. They're so important to setting your group up well. I promise it's not scary and it's worth doing well. I'm going to talk about expectations in kind of two categories, logistics and vision. So logistics is just explaining the details of your group. So starting with attendance, you're giving them your expectations for attendance, and the biggest thing you want to get across is their value and importance to the group. That you want them to be there because you think that they are valuable and that their input matters. I tell my groups, if you are in town and not sick, we expect you to be here. And so that's going to take some planning. Maybe thinking through your rodeo tickets, thinking through your concert tickets, thinking through your birthday dinners, thinking through your vacations, just getting people to realize that they're going to have to think through some logistics of their schedule in order to be there every week that they can. And it's not because you're trying to be like an attendance czar checking off a box, but it's because that you think that their opinion matters and that your desire is that they would all see that and want to be there. And obviously you want them to love each other and be there. And then you model this for them as a leader. If you're in town and not sick, be at your group. And then decide as a leader team how you want people to communicate how they're missing. There are some very strong opinions about this. Believe me, I've heard them all. Some people think that the accountability of texting the whole group is best. Some people think that that creates a waterfall of people missing and that they should just text the leaders. Some people have strong opinions about the timing of when people text that they're missing. I have done all variations and personally don't have a strong opinion either way. I would just say that whatever y'all decide as a leader team, to stick to it. So y'all decide how you want them to communicate. And the biggest thing you want to get across is that they need to communicate if they're missing and why. And then as a leader, if they miss, text them afterwards. If they're sick, like, check up on them because you care about them and because you want to communicate that they were missed, that they add value to your group. And I promise if one of the leaders is texting every time they miss, they'll miss less. Because they realize, hey, they noticed that I wasn't there and they missed me. So those are kind of some attendance things to think about. Curriculum, I'm not going to talk at length here, but just explain to your participants that your desires for them to do their curriculum every week, that you don't want them not doing it to preclude them from coming, but that y'all are going to have the most fruitful discussion if everyone has been in God's Word each week. And that's important. And then prayer, I'm not going to go into that a ton either. Hayden is doing a breakout on that will be recorded if you want to listen to that later. But I would make sure in week zero to talk about prayer, whether you talk about expectations as a group or break up and do prayer in week zero, just to show that it is a priority. Okay, so those are kind of the logistical expectations. The next thing is vision, which you might be new to think about, but you as a leader team, I would love if y'all are meeting today or whenever you're meeting, for y'all to talk about what is my hope for this group in 9 months. What is my vision for it? Is my hope that everyone in our group would enjoy community with each other, that they would be participating in discipleship and intentional relationships outside of group or inside group, that they would love and care for each other. In May, what do you want the participants in your group to look back on for that day, for that week zero in September, and be like, wow, look how much we've grown? And then explain to them how you plan to get there. That if they commit to doing their study each week, that in 9 months, you're going to be a group of people that knows God's word and loves God more. That if they commit to showing up and asking intentional questions, you're going to be a group of people in 9 months that cares for each other better and has a depth to their community. Explain to them your vision and your hope. Get them excited for what God can do in 9 months. And how each of those expectations that you just set serve a purpose in fulfilling that vision of what y'all could be. So that's vision. And then connection for week zero. This is kind of similar to culture, but a little more individual. If you meet someone and you connect with them, you want to come back to learn more about them, right? So it's thinking through, how can I foster individual connections in my group and getting them to talk to each other? And so maybe that's with your initial thing when they walk through the door. If you pair them up to introduce each other, they've connected with someone. Or maybe it's with your, like, game before expectations. But the biggest thing is, the more that you as a leader model investing individually and engaging individually, the more people will do that with each other. And I would start off the bat by trying to do this outside of group. Youth Sundays, find out what service people go to and invite them to lunch after service, or try and use Sundays as another connection point. September 21st, there is a churchwide fellowship meal that's 2 weeks after group start. So that could be a great way to foster some connection with people outside of group. Okay, so that is week zero. I know that was a lot very fast. That's the longest one, don't worry. Okay, fellowship. I'm not going to belabor this section. I printed off our fellowship idea list for you to just slide in your curriculum, and you can hang on to that. But as of week zero, your first fellowship is going to continue to create a culture, to set an expectation, and to foster connection in your group. For fellowships in general, I highly recommend doing at least one fellowship outside of the home you meet in. I know personally those have been the most fun and engaging fellowships I've had. But for this fellowship, you should do it in the house that you're meeting in, just to establish some consistency. I would say do a meal together. I don't know what your plan is going to be as a leaders for meals, but for this fellowship, I would do a meal just kind of to create a family feel off the bat. That's part of kind of your culture. If you do a game night your first fellowship, do different types of games where everyone can feel included. I'd encourage you as a leader to think through, what am I good at and how can I use that to make my group great? So if you're gifted in admin, maybe it's that you can make a trivia game for your group, a Google form. If you're gifted in service, you can think through, how can we use fellowships to serve people in Houston or people in our neighborhood? If you have the gift of hospitality, you're thinking through snacks. Not that you're going to do them every week, but a system to have those a group. Just think through ways of, how can I use my gifts to make my group fun and great? Expectations for your first fellowship, I would just say to make sure that people know that it's not like an optional off week. Act as if you expect everyone to be there. And hopefully, if you've created good culture and connection, they'll want to be there. And then connection, obviously, for this first fellowship will be huge. If you do games, I would encourage you to do something where people are working as a team or like working together, so it's like someone else they can connect with individually. And think through some questions you want to ask intentionally. Don't just plan a meal and expect connection to occur, especially in this first fellowship where people don't know each other. Think through some like table questions or something to get people connecting with each other. And I also assume that life stories will probably be a part of your first fellowship. We have an audio on the leader resource page specific to life stories that you can listen to. I know Rennell did a little bit in the growth group side. But thinking through some questions to help the life stories, obviously they'll help you foster connections with people. Some ideas of what to do for your first fellowship. Again, you have that fellowship list. But a game night, like I've mentioned before, with Fishbowl or Empire, those are some good group games. Show and tell, that's a fun way to get to know people in your group. They bring something, they bring like a article, they can bring whatever they want. And talk about it, and you get to know fun things about people. Minute to win it games, kind of in between life stories. If you didn't do three recommendations, you could do that. Those are just some thoughts. Does anyone have any other, I know y'all have led groups before, most of you. Anyone done anything really fun for their first fellowship? An idea that they want to shout out? Yeah?
We played the name game where we had all the girls on one side, all the boys on one side, and we had like a blanket in between, and you would, like there'd be two people sitting in chairs, a guy and a girl, with a blanket in between. You drop the blanket, first person to say the other person's name gets the point, and it was a great way to learn names. And it's funny, because nobody knows anyone's name. Because
it's like week two, they don't know anyone's names. Yeah, that's great.
But it's really fun to
start.
The girls have the point.
Yeah. I also imagine Travis said that game would be hilarious. Yeah, that's a great one. Name game. Anyone else done something fun for their first fellowship? I know, we're sweating. Yeah.
One of the games we played, they had like a roll of toilet paper, and you had to like pull out however many like squares.
Uh-huh.
And but you didn't explain the rules. You just waited until everybody pulled their like toilet paper, and then each like square was like a fact you had to give about yourself.
Oh.
And so there was somebody that definitely like was the funny guy in the group and pulled like
he had like 20 squares and
yeah, so it was
facts.
Like, you know, my first name's this, my last name's this.
Fun. That's fun. Yeah. Creative. Maybe one more. Does anyone else have an idea? No. Okay, we'll keep going. Okay, week one. So this is your first curriculum week. Obviously, this one is also crucial to setting the tone and your group up for the year. For culture, just continue to create a culture of engagement. Use the first 30 minutes in group of think of some questions you're going to ask. Make sure it's like welcoming. People are going to really, by week three, start to get a vibe for the group. You want it to be a fun, welcoming vibe. Okay, and then expectations. This week is going to be huge in setting up your expectations for time. Start on time and end on time. I have been in 12 groups with all different types of people, and I promise you it can be done. If you want specific thoughts on that, come talk to me after. But this first week, start on time and end on time. And I promise if you start week one ending late, you will the rest of the semester. So set that expectation. And then this is also going to be probably your first week really sticking to attendance expectations. People will start missing. Are they communicating? Are you checking in with them if they're missing? And then, obviously, this will be the first week that you have curriculum discussion, and so it's going to set the tone for that. I would encourage you to really think through this first week, whoever's facilitating discussion, to have a question that is maybe outside of the curriculum, that maybe combines a few themes or combines a few questions, just to kind of show them that we're not checking on homework, that this is meant to be a discussion. And then I also highly, highly encourage a round-the-room question. So that is a question that every person has to answer for this first week, just to show them off the bat that your desire is that each person would participate in discussion. It's going to be really easy the first week to talk a bunch. As the facilitator, y'all have been in groups, you know that it takes a bit for people to start talking, but do your best and be creative to really show them in this week one that their participation matters, that they have value and is desired in the group. And then don't ignore prayer in week one. Same as what I've said before, if you ignore it the first week, you're doomed the rest of the semester. So make sure to end in time for prayer and show that it is a priority. And then the last thing I'll say on connection is for connection in this week, or really all three, is find the person in your group that you think is going to drop and connect with them. Invite them over. It's going to be really easy to pick the people that you clicked with first and want to hang out with them, but I'd encourage you to find the outsider. Find the person that you think is going to drop and invite them over. Connect with them on a Sunday. Do what you can to show them that they have value and that you want them to connect in their group and you want them to stay and be a part of it. So those are just some thoughts and ideas for the first 3 weeks. My biggest thing, like the biggest takeaway, if you hear one thing, is even if you've led 10 groups at GBC, that you would think intentionally about these 3 weeks and not just coast through them, but to be creative and think through how can I make these 3 weeks great, because they are so, so important. We're really grateful for y'all. I've got like 3 minutes. Does anyone have any questions or comments or ideas or thoughts?
Uh-huh. Is it silly to do week zero and expectations to a just fellowship and then do a just a life story?
No.
And then week one?
I'm a big fan of as many fellowships as you can in the fall, which is hard because the fall is so much shorter than the spring, but it helps your group get to know each other better. So, no, I think that's great.
Okay, also, in fellowships, you can knock out life stories during those fellowships.
Right, that's what I was saying, is like do a fellowship and then do like a life story fellowship. Yeah. The quicker you can get life stories done, because it helps people get to know each other, and the more fellowships you can do, definitely on board for that in the fall. That's a great thought. Yeah?
Two questions, actually. First, regarding life stories, what's like the maximum that you would do per week?
For a regular week or for like a fellowship life story?
Could you comment on
that? Yeah. I would say for a regular week, two. If I'm trying to keep in my time, I wouldn't do more than two on a regular week. And that is something you have to be, I said a timekeeper, like a timer, like, and if they go past the timer going off, I will be like, I will cut them off. Because that is how you respect people's time. And hopefully they can talk the next week in the mingling time. And then for a fellowship life story, the max I've done, I think was six, I would say five, and some like games in between. It's hard to listen to that many stories. So I would say five or six with some things in between. Some groups have done more. That's just personally what I've done. So good question though. Anyone else? Did you have another question?
Yeah. Part two to that. So you talked about attendance. If they're in town, not saying they should be there. Uh-huh. Would you also, if you're setting expectations, say like we expect it to be at 75% of?
I don't say that. That used to be in the book. I don't think it is anymore. I'm hoping that if they're not sick or out of town more than 25% of the year. So hopefully by saying that would mitigate that. You can say that if you want. I know that some people can get really stuck on and stressed about that, and so I found that it created more stress than help when you put a number on it. So, because my hope is that they'd be there 100% of the time. So, anyone else? Last question. Last thought. Yeah. Make it a game, a competition. I think that's what I've seen the most successful is we did girls versus guys every week in some kind of like competition. And then like the girls, if they, you know, at the end of the semester, there was like a consequence for each. Or like if you won, you had to serve dinner to the other or do something like that. Yes.
We also, there's an app called Versus that you can plug in the memory verse that allows you to like play games with it. So it doesn't allow for like connection with another person on the app, which would be amazing. But it does allow you to play like little games that fill in the words to help you memorize it. Mm-hmm. And so we shared that with our group last
year. That's great.
It's like a little bit of a cost.
Yeah.
But it's like $1.
Okay, great. I'm gonna let y'all go. If you have other questions, feel free to come talk to me after. If you could. Couple things, pick up your chair and we're going to put it on this rack or the black chairs in the back rack. And then if you have kids, please go pick up your kids before grabbing lunch. I promise there's enough lunches. So, thank y'all.
Andrew, can you show me the kitchen?